Well, Michael and I would like to welcome you back to another recording of the Saturn Earth Connection. Our website is helloearth.info, and today is Tuesday, April 25th, 2017. This is our 346 with Michael from Maui, Hawaii. Michael was taken to a huge luminescent sphere near Saturn as a student visitor and returned to Maui with their amazing flowing dialogue, and occasionally we hear from Shaharon using Michael to transmit his voice into the recording. And before we get started, James in North Wales, Pennsylvania, thank you so much for helping to host the hours. And Tierra Net for not billing me more for the hours, because we're over 50,000 gigabyte. And hello to Nook Greenland. Hello, Michael.
Hello, Curtis.
Hello. Yeah, I have to say hello to Nook. It's a little tiny town, 2 miles wide, and I hear most people just walk there because they don't have cars, but it's cold to walk.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, there's people from, in the last 3 months, oh no, in the last 7 days, or in a 7 day period, there were 140, I think it was 144 countries. And I looked to see if Nook was on the list, and it wasn't. So they're there sometimes, but that's an interesting place to see it on YouTubes. But a lot of interesting places on this planet. It's an amazing planet, third from the sun, and Venus. No, we don't talk about Venus too much, but Venus is a wonderful place.
So, I haven't been there, neither have you.
No, I've never been there.
Yeah, so that's a place that we got to rely on the instrumentation right now. Yeah, but lucky we've got exploration and instrumentation to have gone there, like it did to Saturn. Too bad, though, we got to lose Cassini.
It is too bad we're going to lose Cassini.
But at least it got me out of the closet. I wasn't going to come forward with, but people would call me nuts, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You went to heaven, or you went to Saturn, or you should see people's eyes when I, you know, I'm trying to explain to them. You know, you ever heard of the New Jerusalem? You know, and it's, that's the place. Okay, that's all right. I've heard this from a million people before. You know, coast to coast, anybody can say they went somewhere, you know. That's his excuse for not putting me on coast. Yeah, and I didn't write a book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know why, you know, it makes a difference to them. But in any case, the topic is heaven. You know, because heaven, when people talk about heaven, they point up. People talk about hell, they point down.
How do they know?
I don't know. You know, but I think a good amount of hell is right on the surface of the earth, and it's inhabited by a bunch of people called human beings that are free will creatures that actually do bad things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And feel they're justified.
Mm.
And that's something that I would say is cause of wars and rumors of wars and, you know, all these things that have made it hard for life here on Earth to be heavenly, right? Yeah. Heavenly. Yeah. Having been, you know, having been with the Celestials in the New Jerusalem, you know, I haven't gone to hell, really. But I know people who have, which is the other place, you know. It's the prison planet. Although Alex Jones calls us, he calls his show what? Prison Planet or something.
One of his URLs is prisonplanet.com.
Yeah. And kind of places his location to like here on Earth. And you can see why. And there's a lot of confusion. And the confusion is not knowing a lot of things. And we want to unconfuse people. But one of the things about the Urantia book doesn't declare a hell, a permanent place for human beings to be tormented and eternally punished. However, the Urantia book does confirm that one of the early mansion worlds were converted from their primary use, their first use, because it was never used much. And it was then turned into a prison planet for the main rebels of this recent rebellion under Lucifer, Satan, Galagastia, and the bunch. And it includes many of them who are imprisoned. Now, Jesus Christ talked about that, and he said it was not created for the human race. You know, this place is not. Friends of mine, people who taught me the early doctrines of Christianity and ordained me as a minister, talked about how they were escorted by a very powerful angel, many times confused with them being called Jesus Christ. But they never gave their name, but she assumed that it was a she. And she was young and she had terrible disease, and it was super high fever, and she was taken to a place where it's exactly as described. There's a huge volcanic, you know, like a big lake, and she saw people swimming around in the lake, kind of like heads, human heads bobbing up and down, and terrible cries. The word was to say, you know, this is not where people are going to come. You know, it's not for the human race, but only for those who are in alliance with Lucifer. The problem is, on our planet, our prison planet, the doctrines of Lucifer, the thought trains of Lucifer, are fully engaged. In other words, it's easy to get into that mind, that mode. Basically, it's selfish. But it's even more than that. In any case, it has to do with aspirations and ambitions a lot of times. And it's Luciferian in their thought process. Self-love first. You know, if you don't love yourself, how can you love another person? Actually, the truth is to love God first and to drive toward the author of love. And this is where my experience with Onisiawan, Nella, as Riley called her, was amazing. The actual power of love flowed from her in a way that I have never experienced in terms of in being in the body. It's like that all the terror, all the fear gets driven out of you. It's like pure love, so powerful, there is no fear. There is this wonderful, wonderful love. And it is this love that I want to tap into all the time. And the source of it is, we have it built into us. The thought adjuster, the divinity fragment, as well as the associated spiritual elements that we are able to tune into, because our mind, our human brain, actually captures one part of the building of a soul. The soul's thought structures, memory is recorded, and it's our personalities are recorded across the plane between ourselves and the divinity fragment, the thought adjuster. And as the soul matures, even our personality and our experience also matures and grows. It also can be a conduit for many things, including love. One of them was amazing. In recent times, I went to a person on his near-death bed. He was basically given up for dead. He was in intensive care. His heart, his blood pressure was something like, I think it was something in the neighborhood of 40 over 20. Mm. You ever hear anything? It's like no blood pressure already. But they had it measured, and I was looking at the monitor and looking at his heart. It was very, very weak. And I touched him. And I began to, channel the living water, they call it. It's really life energy. And I can feel it pouring through from the top of my head, right into my body, out of my arms, into the person. It was like I was a hose of living water. And his heart, his blood pressure started to come up. And come up again and again. And it was getting better and better until it was like, oh, it hit 90. Hit 90 over, maybe was it 90 over 40? Something. And he got, and the doctors rushed over. And they saw me there, and they were like, okay, something happened. And they said, well, he's recovered. He just spontaneously recovered. So we're going to move him to another ward that's not intensive care anymore. He came conscious again. He was in coma. And next thing you know, he was getting better, but he still had cancer and a terrible, terrible disease. And a bacteria of, forget what you call it, that was really one of those hospital bugs that are very, very hard to fight. You know, where you can throw all the antibiotics you want at it. And they said, the doctor said, we threw everything we had at him. And nothing was working. So they were amazed. But later he was able to live a few more weeks. And those few weeks he was able to, people were able to engage his family and engage with him and be able to be ready for his passing, because I knew he was going to pass, because he just had completed the course. It just was that, what I mean by the course is the soul development. And he was going to go on, not to this hell place, but to, you might say, the first mansion world. And this is what one of the things that I was able to engage, because these are real physical locations. And although people's recollections are of places like hell and like heaven are recollected by people who have made, you might say, a journey there, the places are real physical locations. Because of my experience, I've gone to Saturn's New Jerusalem, orbiting Saturn, and having seen, you know, you might call it living an alive a ship, that New Jerusalem is really living and alive. It's like living crystals that are, that's why it grows continuously. you know, how we grow. You know, I kind of wonder how do we grow from being a little child till we get become bigger. They showed me a similar sense of a type of growth, but it's living and alive, material that is outside of our realm, which has been described by people who went to heaven and saying that the plants responded to them, sing to them. Well, at least for me, the bush that was outside of the class, which resembled the bush that burned and was not consumed, was like dancing hula. As I remember, wow, it was just so beautiful that I was just admiring and admiring it. It began to wake up and look at me, but there was no, it's very interesting. It's like the branches started to do the hula and dance, and the glow of light radiating through him, and it was living and alive. And all of this was also described by people who have been to heaven, and very similar living, plants that interact with you. And that's there, it's real. The opposite sense concerning the prison planet, we're not there. Truly, but much of what goes on hellishly can be, we can be duped into believing that that is the right way to do things. I believe that many civilizations, like Kim Jong-un, believes that his way is the right way. Of course, it's like one of those that there's a special place for people like him. And it's not in heaven, it's in another prison planet, that one prison planet that used to be one of the first mansion worlds that was never used much. Getting rid of the animal nature sometimes required a bit of scrubbing, you might say. But that has pretty much diminished as we can attain humanity. You know, in the early childhood, child cries, acts kind of like an animal, screaming his head off. Even if he doesn't get his way, didn't get his candy bar, screams his head off, kind of animal. But as it gets a little bit older, becomes more like, and more humane.
I'm sorry, hold on. It gets a little older and becomes a little, and then there was this blank.
Yeah, becomes more humane.
More humane.
Yes. Humanity is one of the earlier steps. But on Earth, we are allowed divinity, which is the higher nature. It's like touching people and they get healed. And the divine nature is able to flow a kind of love out of us that is similar to, but not as maybe as wonderful as we could do it later, but right now that is able to be developed. And what we want to develop, the divine nature, we participate in the divine nature, was some of the teachings in scripture, holy scripture, but having just, actuated that and do it all the time, I know as the fact that that divine nature becomes, you might say, a higher nature to attain here on planet Urantia, planet Earth. And it apparently is not easy to attain because there's a lot of things that hold up that from appearing. It makes, you might say, the natural ones somewhat uncomfortable. And actually can, if they're not going to, you might say, be divine, not moving in that direction, they They don't like it. People don't like it. And it can result in kind of hardship for you. So in any case, I am running into this subject because I'm being pressed into it. To remind, although the Rancho book does declare there's no real hell of eternal punishment, and that's true, for the human being, there is a place for a type of, I would call it an attitude adjustment. Mm-hmm. And that attitude adjustment can be attained here on planet or later. And if one does never go through an attitude adjustment, then you end up stuck there. Mm. And that's a hardship, a real hardship, because there's no way out that one could carve out for himself. You know,
there's no way out of hell, you know?
Hell, yeah, out of hell once you are there, because it's, you know, it was designed as a containment area for Lucifer. Lucifer was and still is a Lanadandek son, a very high angel, very, very high angel, spiritual and transformed in a being of light that can seemingly move through everything, yet it is a containment sphere. Oh. Yeah, so that's pretty rough if your toughest and highest angels cannot break out. Oh. So how can a human think he can break out of there? Interestingly, if you go to the Coming of Ten, a story was told about that place to Riley Martin, and it was a deceptive invitation to many people who were deceived in the, you might say, the what would be considered called the angelic community, a community of maybe mortals, which includes mortals or first stage Maranchians, early people like that, or others, to attain higher powers and greater, I guess, greatness. But this place ended up deceiving people into thinking that it was a good place. So when they get there, you find out things are happening to them and are basically sucking or leeching off their energy. And they only can get that energy from formerly or newly, arrived former living creatures. Because it is, you might say, the rare substance that they need. And the way they get it is through the fear energy. This is what was Riley was writing about, and he wasn't making up a story. He was basically telling a story, because Riley Martin had a phenomenal memory. And I was thinking, wow, he remembers all those details. And one of them, which I didn't get told, was the story of the prison planet, or this planet that was constructed. And it had a deceptive, it was made up of constructed physical beings who are giving some kind of constructed afterlife body. But it was missing certain elements, and it was requiring some kind of like, almost like a type of vampire energy, to kind of vampire it off somebody. So that was, I forgot what chapter, I don't have the book in front of me, but it was very close picture of what many people have described hell to look like. I haven't experienced, like I say, I haven't experienced hell, but I've, you know, experienced the earlier physical locations of an architectural sphere, which is inclusive of heaven, because many of the places, all these places, are described as beautiful and wonderful, are really architectural spheres. That's the Urantia book, Roads Made to Order. They're perfectly constructed, peaceful worlds. But the other one, the prison planets, I don't know that much about. I'm not any expert on them. But those that have gone do warn. You don't want to go there. Jesus Christ basically warned about that too. You don't want to go there. And his way, if you follow his way, accept his way, which is him actually, it will result in avoiding it altogether. But, however, if you do need an attitude adjustment, hopefully you can go through the attitude adjustment here on Earth. It's not painless, but it's not horrible, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not a horrible thing. It's that attitude adjustment sometimes is disagreeable. Finally, when our attitudes get adjusted, then we see the light. And I say it because I had my attitude adjustment. And that was to love all men. Even in spite of the fact that they might have thought me as not, you know, knowing anything or making up stories or and then just dismissing them. And that wasn't right. Was not supposed to dismiss them. I was supposed to love them and be concerned enough to wait for the right time. You know, the horse or the not ready to drink the water, even if you're right there saying it's good. Oh, no, and, you know, it's, according to their, well, anyway, they go on and on and on. Yeah.
I don't remember that chapter's name, but I know just what chapter you mean.
Yeah, it was describing the made-up world, the planet that had some kind of specially invented beings that were at one time living, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And they became machine-like. But they was trying to become like what, you know, a Morancho body, but they can't make one. It's like we're going to try that too. Our human inventiveness is going to try that too. Oh. But when you're without the source of life, like when I lay my hand on a man near death and it comes alive again, it's not because of me, it's because that energy that we can actually move and actually, I guess, channel is something that is available here when we are alive. And we can participate and gather it and become truly energized. And that's a wonderful goal, to be energized by it here right now, and then we'll overcome many of those, you know, usually deceptive philosophies. So anyway, that's a concept I have right now. Any question there?
Yeah,
the deceptive philosophy that fill the planet. You wanted to talk about this concept here of the island of Kaho'olawe off of Maui, and its function. It's been turned back over to the Hawaiian people And if they have Hawaiian, truly Hawaiian, native Hawaiian blood, they can apply and have rights to go to the island to practice cultural worship and things like that. Mm-hmm. What I have to say about that is the interesting thing about the Hawaiian people and what makes them special above many of the other, those that are preserved, but those that accepted, many of them, the missionaries who came over and talked about heaven and talked about Jesus Christ, talked about liberty, talked about a lot of things, and they looked into it quite faithfully, and actually by faith they acquired the entrance into the divine aspiration, the divine nature. These guys have been preserved wonderfully, and their generations go on and on and on. And that person I touched then, who was in his coma and came alive, until his family could. There was Hawaiian bloodline in that, Native Hawaiian bloodline. And he had to find his way back into, basically come back. But those that go to that island and practice ancient, not pre-Christianity practices, it's not good. It isn't good for the development of this society, because the practices were many times rooted in the worship of not true deities, but fallen, you know, the fallen, you might angels, fallen human, or modified humans, or whatever, that were at one time fully operational on planet, kind of died out because they lost the energy and the source of life. And Yudansha book talks about them as having lost the tree of life. And the result did they ended up believing that they needed to procreate to have their line continue. And there are exact legendary tales that match many of the Sumerian tales exactly in the Hawaiian culture. And their worship was functioning very similar to the false worship and the false deities, because basically it was to the fallen ones. And whenever people tend to go regress to an ancient or more primitive culture, it's not a good thing. We have a higher revelation in a wonderful book called the Yudansha book that gives us great, great awakening in our understanding, and we should take it at a point of faith and belief and information, and realize that, wow, we actually have a real high destiny that is available to us if we would just understand and believe those things which are in the Yudansha book are true. And they are. Mm-hmm. Not trying to push the worship of the Yudansha book. It's not the worship of the book. It's a study of it. A textbook. One in which answers many questions. But ultimately, the keying in and the moving into the divine nature is a personal journey. It's like how the Veranda Deck Most High says, the purpose of life and all life. I asked that question, what is it? All he said to me was to become as I am, a being of light. Veranda Deck Most High. That is pretty high up. And perhaps as near to God as I could possibly get to, you know, in terms of observing and looking at. I'm not saying he was God. I'm saying that he was also one of the highest of all to be able to interface with. High angel, very high angel. So that answer is, you got to point it out, live it out, and then don't get dragged back into, you know, culture is good to understand, but to understand it fully, sometimes they're searching by going backwards. It's like, I wonder how the, they went around and traveled. I says, well, let's go back and use the horse and buggy. And that's, you know, that's what some people do.
There's a whole group of people here in Pennsylvania, the Amish people.
Mm-hmm.
You go by some place like 7-Eleven, which is, and they have stalls for the cars, and they have a place to tie up your horses.
Yeah.
For your buggies.
And it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at the world's problems, we couldn't all live that way and have a functional society. Our functional society allows them to have access to 7-Eleven, which is, you know, not necessarily, it's out of the time zone. But anyway, they have a peaceful way of life, and they want it to propagate. People could understand that peaceful way. They also, some of the Amish also have very interesting ways of moving into some of the technologies that we have. Electricity, for example. A lot of them don't have electricity, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
They don't believe in it, maybe.
Well, we have places called the Dutch Market around here where the people from the Amish country travel by bus to come here and, basically just travel about 50 miles in different directions to markets they've set up. And it's a great place to go to have delicious donuts made, or all the food there is brought in by the Amish. It's
mm-hmm.
They're open a few days a week, not every day. But the blueberry fritters there are amazing, and the pretzels are just unbelievable. Fresh pretzels. It's like all real food.
That's
real
true.
Food. It's a great place to go.
That's the one of the things, too, in the Hawaiian culture, is that the food is preserved in terms, and it's something that can be enjoyed quite well.
Mm.
Another thing, though, that did happen was there is a type of disease that has been spread around Hawaii. They trace the problem or its origin to an ancient practice drinking a certain kind of drink, which is made by a root, a kava root. It's a root. It's like any root, turnip or whatever. But the problem is they may not have washed that root well, or they wanted to preserve something in it and didn't clean it well. And then this wormy animal that gets into people's brains was on the root. So when they crushed it up to make a drink, it's pretty primitive. And they all got sick.
Mm.
You know, so forgot the name of that. But they weren't sure where it came from, but now they know. So it's an ancient practice that when some people decide that they want to go back to, but they have to go back to some of the ancient diseases. I don't want that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you were referring to heaven was up and hell was down, and the yeah. prison planet. But is hell really down?
Not really.
Not really. It's a whole other planet.
It's a whole other planet. Yes. Mm-hmm. But this planet has the aspects of. You might want gates to hell. In other words, you can subscribe to certain things, and when you do, you are actually buying a ticket to hell. That's not what you want to do, because there's another ticket, and that ticket is to heaven. And it's already built into us. All we got to do is start to listen to that. And it's that voice in us is easy to override. Very easy. You know, all we got to do is have a wrong attitude.
I like that heaven's already built into us.
It is. Yeah. And we just have to subscribe. You know. We don't. It's not going to work.
Not going to work.
Yeah. And that subscription, a lot of times people wonder this. They say, "Oh, you know, the sinner's prayer in church, Jesus Christ, accepting the Lord Jesus Christ." And that. What about to people never heard of that? People never. You know, one of the interesting phenomena that's happening right now. In many of the Islamic world, which is, you know, mentions and knows about Jesus Christ, you know, it's even in the Quran, but they never aspire to realize that he has built the gate and made the way possible for real salvation, or salvation to heaven, you might call it, the way to our true destiny. The original purpose of what we were actually made for. I can say that the original purpose for our life was to ascend and be divine. And that is, you know, was almost completely robbed away from us if it wasn't for Jesus Christ and interacting and putting down that. So all he has to do is realign yourself to the destiny line, and then all things will become clearer and clearer and clearer as time goes on. And the maturity, the divine nature becomes truly yours. Ultimately, the Yonja book talks about fusion, the fusion of our soul with the divine fractal, the thought adjuster. And actually becoming, because of that fusion, true divine son, a son of God. I remember when I learned that, it became something that was strange, because not only did they say we have royalty in this room, you know, and look all over the room and see all these different kinds of people. And they're all looking at me, and what is that? That means I'm the royalty in the room? Well, not only did that happen, but on a more personal sense, I was told, you are a son of God also. And that, like, that declaration shook me up, and then they kind of let me not, they didn't want me to get all bent out of shape, you know, because it's too much to kind of like hold on to, you know, This human being is a son of God. I thought Jesus Christ, Son of God. You know, it's, no, we are. But how do we walk in it? We walk toward it first. Then we walk within the domain of sonship. And then we have begin to bear the symbols or the realities of sonship. And that's where, you know, as you get more and more toward divine, you know, divine nature, you get assigned people to help you out. And these people are angels. They kind of help you out, kind of guide you, sometimes save you from being dumb or too venturous. And the result is supposed to be that we ascend the, you might call it the ladder of divinity, and become divine. Mm-hmm. Becoming divine has its signs, and some of them are, you know, like the working of unusual things, or what we call miracles, and watch them take place in front of your eyes. And how does that happen? Because a lot of times it is only our, you might say, righteous and divine will that assigns the miracle to happen, or the forces that can turn a hurricane, stop a disaster from happening, or things like that, or bring a person from death's door grip right back and to life again to enjoy it for a while more. Sometimes a long time, or sometimes many times less, not very long. Because I tell you right now, heaven's place is a place that once being there, you long to go back to.
You long to go back to because of what experience in heaven?
Yeah, what is there?
What is there?
Yeah. You know, and we can attain different levels of that now, and it will be first manifest in our lives in terms of peace, not tension, not high stress. It's the other way around, and then the energetic realities of that love nature, that divine nature is just essentially love, but not one that we have the capacity to do by ourselves. It is not ours to possess. It is ours to give out. And only when it becomes given out does it manifest itself far above our own ability. Yeah, it's far above our own ability. It's like any of the miracles happen, you know, like, wow, whatever I saw, and, you know, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, miracles. So how many, I mean, do we really have miracles happen to everyone on Earth?
No.
No.
No. That is for sure.
Mm-hmm. Well. Kim Jong-un.
Well, his form of miracle is murdering people. Oh, I took their life away by my miraculous power. Actually, Jesus Christ talked about that. It says, life and death is held in the power of the tongue. And all you got to do is say the word. And there's no more life in a person. So they kill them. But anyway, that's, you know, that's a different kind of miracle, if you want to call it that. It's a miracle of power. Yeah. It's like the golden rule in terms of business. The golden rule is he that has the gold makes the rules. Mm-hmm. You know, but that's not necessarily a true truth. The golden rule is still the golden rule. Do ye one unto another as you would have them to do to you. Those kinds of philosophies or teachings are throughout the universe, believe it or not.
I was just going to say, isn't that everywhere?
Everywhere, yeah.
Everywhere. Everyone feels that way.
Yeah.
Hmm. It's a beautiful thing, the golden rule.
But people can to move away from it. Military training can sometimes take people away from it. Mm-hmm. You know. Sad, though.
Yeah, sad. Until they realize what they've done after they get out of that environment. And it's a crushing thing for a lot of the military fellas.
Oh, yeah. It is.
It's also a horrible thing to be placed in that predicament in the military. Trained to do what man shouldn't do.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I get pressed to talk about, you know, was this. And I said, you know, really, it's, I can't say, you know, I've been there and I can tell you about it. But I can warn about it because we all are basically, you know, heading there because this is a fallen planet. And if we continue, we can subscribe to the philosophies of Lucifer, which remain on planet. That's why the Veranda deck, most highs are here to observe the planet's behavior, you might call it. Mm-hmm. You know, with Kim Jong-un, it basically says is the idea was stonewall them or rock them. And that's the vision I had of a huge rock wall, that just not just one piece of rock that he'll be having to face. And that's what's happening to him now. And that's the approved technique that the Most High, I guess, is orchestrating through the those who are. So there are things that you think, you know, would be the way, diplomacy and all that stuff. But I think that it's not formulating that way because it's not what the Most Highs want. That picture is what is happening exactly, stonewalling him in. Otherwise, his threats are not empty. But they can be kind of a lonesome place.
Well, there's a lot of people in that part of the world who are in fear of that man. People in Japan, my gosh, they're very close.
Very close.
And South Korea. But yeah. They're kind of used to him in a way, but how do you get used to that?
Well, they just go about their life. You know, if he blow us up, well, we just cook just like everybody else. You know, but those in responsibility to, that's the ones that have to do something. And they're doing something and accordingly following, you might say, the technique that I was shown would be used, this wall or stones, that stonewalling the guy in, you know. Uh-huh. Yeah. Not sure if, you know, they show me much more, but they show me some stuff. talking about those that send forth me my visions and dreams, the informational channel, you might call it. So we're still within that time period of stonewalling him, because it'd be scary if he showed me on a mushroom cloud, which you haven't done yet. No. Anyway.
That's good.
That's good. Yeah.
That's very good.
Yeah.
We've been trying to avoid that.
Yeah.
It's a dangerous time right now.
That's right.
But, and I'm sure things are happening to settle that issue behind the scenes. This president doesn't want to tell everything he's doing.
Yeah.
So you said you needed to watch your time on this recording?
Yeah, I need to leave on the recording pretty soon.
Okay.
If not right now. But it is a subject that, you know, I've been avoiding talking about it, because to me it's not the message, really. The message is where our destiny lies. Yet there is a certain amount of reality in terms of hell, or the prison planet's reality, as another location.
Mm-hmm. Another location.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's high value real estate now.
Well, it's developing our soul into something worthwhile to live for.
Yeah. And if we continue with that relationship between ourselves, with the built-in guidance system, you might call them, that will assure that we will definitely not be taken to that place of, you might call it, attitude adjustment. Because many of them who've been there come back with their attitudes tremendously readjusted. Yeah.
Even people in their old ways, like, because you can change someone in the beginning, but once they've developed who they are in their entire lifetime, it's hard to swing them into a better attitude.
You'd be surprised what hell can do.
Surprised. I thought you could say that.
Yeah. That's something that, that's why it's so ugly, I guess. Sometimes the power is just terrible to change one's attitude.
Mm-hmm. Well, you said we have the ticket built into us already to go to heaven.
Yeah. We just need to, I guess, basically check it in. You know, check in. And get on with the program.
Mm-hmm.
Christians talk about the sinner's prayer and repentance, and those are basically guides to get us on track with. It can take that form, which is easily practical, you know. And, you know, if one feels like he wants to get baptized. One of the interesting things was that Jesus Christ didn't need to get baptized, but he followed it, you know, as a way to contact or be with his future disciples. He didn't know where they'd come from, but many of them did come from that baptism. They were John the Baptist's disciples.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, Well, this was different talking about hell, that's for sure.
I believe it is one of what was described in the Urantia book as one of the mansion worlds that were unused. You know, unused. So there are many of them that are surrounding or orbiting the mansion worlds, which are architectural spheres. But, you know, and we can talk about, you know, going and visiting different ones and experiencing, you know, different things. But it was, that one was kind of like, nobody wanted that one.
Well, that's that Urantia book. Well, thank you, Michael. We could close and get you to where you're going on time.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
All right. Aloha, Michael.
Aloha. Bye bye.